Carolyn Morney. I'm Tom Hall. The Youth Resiliency Institute works with African-American children and adults, primarily in Cherry Hill and Albemarle Square. One of its programs is called the Journey Project. It focuses on family engagement to help kids improve their performance in school. Fanon Hill is the executive director and co-founder of the Youth Resiliency Institute. The Journey Project includes an African-American family drumming group. Jerry Mayo is here with us, along with his 10-year-old son, Jeremiah. They live in Cherry Hill, and they've been drumming with the group for how long have you all been drumming?
About 5 months.
5 months. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, we welcome you both to the program. Glad you're here. And Mosiah Celine is here, too. He's an acclaimed drummer. He's won Grammy Awards. He's played with all sorts of people all over the world, and he's been teaching drumming in the Journey Project. Mosiah Celine, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
And Fanon Hill, talk about what the Youth Resiliency Institute does.
Well, the Youth Resiliency Institute provides a culturally relevant rites of passage process for children, youth, and adults in Cherry Hill, obviously Cherry Hill Public Homes, Albemarle Square, and we recently expanded into East Cleveland, Ohio. We were very fortunate in having secured funding from the W.K. Kellogg Foundation in 2014 to forward family engagement activities in those respective communities. So,
Kellogg gave you $500,000. That's a chunk of change.
It is.
How'd you end up in Baltimore and Ohio?
Great question.
How's that go?
Well, we actually partner with the National Rites of Passage Institute in East Cleveland, Ohio. I am from East Cleveland, Ohio, and I wanted to provide an opportunity for families in Baltimore and families in East Cleveland to bridge gaps that exist and to really explore what are known as protective factors or promotive factors that allow black families living in low-income communities to overcome oppressive inequities and challenging predicaments.
And one of the real fundaments of your approach is this, what you call the rite of passage.
Correct.
So you're talking about kids, you know, going from teenage years into adulthood. A lot of people, they take those years and they just run screaming and kicking. They say, oh, that's too scary.
That's right.
I can't handle that. But you're saying that's a really important moment in a young man's or a young woman's life.
Correct. As well as in senior citizens' lives. My father is going to be turning 70 November 6th. And in terms of adults moving into elderhood, them being prepared for that phase of their lives. So seasons change in life. And in our lives as humans, as people, we go through phases as well. So rites of passage provides a process, a support system, a parachute as individuals are going through the ups and downs of life.
One of the emphases that you've had with the Journey Project, and particularly even with the Drumming Project, is the relationship between the police and the community in Cherry Hill. Mm-hmm. So are you specifically working to improve that relationship?
July 2014, I had an opportunity to present at the White House about our work in Baltimore City. And about a month later, while I was in Cherry Hill taking a journalist who was new to Baltimore City on a tour of Cherry Hill, I was followed by a patrol car, and I shared with the journalist that we were going to be stopped. And so after about six blocks, we indeed were stopped in front of the Cherry Hill Rec Center where we provide programming. And the police officer got out of his patrol car, and he was very aggressive. And the fact that the journalist, it was summertime, of course, by the time the journalist got out of his side of the car and his press credentials slid out of his shirt, the whole tone of the police officer shifted. And what's most remarkable about that experience is the fact that there were Journey Project families who witnessed this encounter and shared that this specific officer had a history of intimidating residents in Cherry Hill Public Homes. And so we recognize that when speaking about family engagement, police intimidation actually impedes healthy child and community development. And so we wanted to be proactive. Our style of family engagement is about being proactive and developing relationships with institutional structures as well as individuals. So we organized and we actually traveled to a southern district and attended a community police relations meeting. And there we witnessed the class 1404 from the Baltimore City Police Academy. And there were young people, cadets, who were not much older than many of the family members in the Journey Project, their children. And so at that point, we generated an idea. What if we went upstream? What if we actually developed a relationship with cadets from the Baltimore City Police Department, providing them with an opportunity to learn about the families in the communities that they will be, you know, patrolling in, policing in. And so we actually had an engagement December 6, 2014, and over 20 cadets from Class 1404 engaged in an art workshop with our families. And so we are organizing presently to augment, to expand that engagement throughout Baltimore City.
Yeah, using the arts. And Mr. Mayo, you have lived in Cherry Hill for about 8 years. Is that your personal experience as well? What is your take and your perspective on the relationship between the police and the folks who live in the Cherry Hill homes where you live?
When I walked around the neighborhood and they looked at me like I was a suspect or something, and that I didn't have nothing to do with anything. They stopped, they looked at me and pulled me up and asked where I was going.
And this happens all the time?
Not all the time, some of the time.
But what do you think the answer is? What do you think is going to take for the police to be more trusting of the community and for the community to be more trusting of the police?
My thought is that it got to take trust. You know, you got to let people walk on by and do what they got to do before the police prevent you of asking, what are you doing?
Right. And Jeremiah, you're 10 years old. When you see a police officer, do you assume that that police officer is going to be, you know, able to help you, or do you get a little afraid of seeing a police officer?
I think they will to help me in something.
You think they might be able to help you?
Yeah.
And do you think most of your friends think, you know, the police are there, that, you know, to make sure that people are safe and everything's going okay in Cherry Hill?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And Messiah Celine, as a drummer, you're teaching folks to play music together. And how does that relate to, you know, this huge issue that is citywide, not just in Cherry Hill, but it's nationwide, this whole relationship between the police and the African-American community? When folks are drumming with you, what are they learning about?
The first thing they learn is to focus. And my drum builds self-esteem and awareness and respect through drumming. So I'm hoping that, you know, that can carry on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, people are listening to each other.
Listening. And
yeah, to play music, you got to listen.
And that's why I say focus is the main objective about drumming, because you have to pay attention to what you're doing. And if you don't, then if I acquire to play a rhythm and somebody's not listening, then they're not going to play it correctly. So
You got to listen carefully.
Yeah.
Fanon Hill, you wrote a report in 2013 with a mutual friend of ours, Peter Brune, called Strong Art, Strong Youth. It was funded by the Deutsche Foundation, and this is a foundation that spends a lot of time really carefully thinking about their philanthropy, and they're very involved in the arts, as you have been as a community artist. I've asked this question of a number of artists, from classical musicians to theater artists to dancers to writers. What is it that the arts can do to address some of these deep-seated problems like trust and distrust between the police and the African-American community in places like
Chicago? Wow, we need an entirely different show. We need longer time, much more time.
Fair enough.
But great question. You know, I like to say that art humanizes the dehumanized. And it definitely fills a void left barren by generational trauma. And whenever we're engaged in organizing through the Youth Resiliency Institute, we recognize and acknowledge that every individual whom we come in contact with has experienced some sort of trauma, whether community members, law enforcement, agents, elected officials, so on and so forth. And so art is an element, a factor that undergirds all of our philosophy and methodology within the Youth Resiliency Institute. In 2007, the Heinz Foundation released a report called the Cultural Responsive Arts Education Report, and it focused on the role that the cultural arts plays within boosting the academic achievement of children and youth, specifically children and youth of color, Black children and youth. And so we recognize the role that the art plays not only in community transformation, but also in increasing the academic performance of young people. So to be able to engage in art, whether it's drumming, graphic art, so on and so forth, with individuals, whether they be in law enforcement, elected officials, I think is very, very important. We actually have a representative from City Council President Jack Young's office, Liam Davis, who heard about the Cherry Hill Drummers and plays, practices with the Cherry Hill Drummers. So it also increases art that is civic engagement and provides the oxygen for individuals to tell their story.
Messiah Celine, give me the age range of the folks who play. I mean, here's Jeremiah playing with his dad, Mr. Mayo. That's nice. You got children and adults, but it runs the gamut, it looks like.
Yes, when I first started, I started in a child development center, and the children were 4 years old up to, you know, 7, 8, and then the adults. I mean, it's no discrimination.
Everybody can play. Did the police ever play with you?
Yes. One time I was at a school called LaMel, and they had a police station in the school, which was kind of weird to me. So we were in the auditorium performing one day, and one of the officers came in, and he said, "Is there an extra drum?" I said, "Sure." So he came up on the stage and started playing with us, and I thought that was really cool.
I wonder if that's something you could do a little bit more in Cherry Hill. I mean, just to have people play together.
I'm trying now.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Yeah. And Mr. Mayo, you've been playing with the group for about 5 months, you said. What's your reaction to it? How has it affected things? It must be, first of all, a very nice thing for you to be able to do with your son.
Yeah, it's amazing because the drum, the note, you know, to do your culture of drumming, to know your culture of drumming, that's a good thing because that's something different I didn't know nothing about. So I get, you know, the rhythm in, and I get it in, you know, the way it's supposed to get in, then I can get adjust to it.
Yeah, and so when you talk about culture, you're talking about learning the rhythms and the traditions of the African musical and African drumming tradition.
Yes, right? Sir.
Yeah. Yeah. And Fanon Hill, do you also work with African natives too?
We recognize the power of African immigrants and refugees, and when speaking about culture, the cultural tactics that they employ so as their children can succeed academically. So African immigrants and refugees are some of the most educated populations within the country. And so we've been working with immigrants and refugees from Africa for quite some time, specifically with the Kwe family from Togo, West Africa. And we provide a network and an opportunity for families, Black American families, to really explore ideas related to academic success as well as family engagement with Africans.
So, Jeremiah, when you learn about things that happen in Africa, both what's happening in Africa right now and what happened, you know, many years and many centuries before any of us were born, do you like knowing about that stuff?
Yeah.
Do you like playing drums?
Yeah.
Is it fun?
Mm-hmm.
What's the funnest part about it?
About you learn beats, and one day when you grow up, you'll play drums and be in marching bands.
A marching band, uh-huh. Have you thought about what you might end up doing when you're like a old guy like me?
Well, when I grow up, I'm going to be a police officer.
You want to be a police officer, huh? That's nice. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Messiah, maybe drumming can help folks literally play their way out of this kind of situation where folks are just hassling people for a whole bunch of reasons that are probably very difficult to identify specifically.
Well, it's working.
Yeah.
It has worked, and it's going to continue to work because if we all listen and pay attention, a lot of things will change.
It's a collective effort. And the fact that we launched programming with zero public and private funding, connecting with community artists, having future outlook has been something that has fueled the work that we do. And we're going to continue doing this work. The Kellogg Foundation investment really was right on time in terms of supporting the efforts that were already on the ground in one of Baltimore's most disinvested communities.
As we go out, Messiah Celine, Jerry Mayo, and Jeremiah Mayo, you guys have brought some African drums. You maybe play us a little.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you all for coming. I really appreciate it. Fanon Hill is the executive director of the Youth Resiliency Institute. Cherry Hill residents and drummers Jerry Mayo and his son Jeremiah are here, along with drumming teacher Messiah Celine. You can catch a performance by the Journey Project African Family Drumming Group next Monday at City Hall at 4 o'clock. We've got more information on our website, wypr.org/Maryland Morning. I'm Tom Hall. Ahead on the program, Coloring Books. They're not just for kids anymore.